Anaya Ferguson is going to deliver our second sermon this morning. Let's pray. Oh God, we give thanks for Anaya and her willingness to take this risk in your name, trusting that your Spirit will work. We give thanks for her life throughout many ministries of this church and the way that you have worked through her there. And we are just thankful, God, that we get to hear about the work that you're doing in her life. So bless her, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
There was a time of my life when I was filled with a lot of fear. I was 8 years old, and a lot of new things were happening that I did not understand. There were strange people visiting my house, asking lots of strange questions. My mom was distressed, and my dad was leaving. My father was struggling with his mental health, and as a result of this, he began to treat my mother disrespectfully, and his behavior was escalating. A restraining order had to be served for him to leave the house, but for a while he refused to accept it. After my father was finally removed from the house, there was some relief, but what was even more frightening was that he might try to come back or do something damaging to the house or to us. As a child, I did not fully comprehend what my mom dreaded and wanted me to be prepared for. My sister and I were given lots of rules about what to do if something bad happened, and every adult that we were put in the charge of had to know how to protect us. I remember checking in to a day of summer camp, listening to my mom explain the restraining order that had been filed on behalf of my sister and I to the camp staff. Just thinking about it reminds me of how scared I was that my father would come to the camp. I could not help worrying about this potentially harmful event. Should I be afraid of my father, afraid that I would get hurt? This fear became a constant part of my life, even though I never really understood what I was supposed to be afraid of. After a few months, my father was sent to jail. When this happened, some of my immediate fears were relieved because my father would not be able to reach my family. Most of my fear remained, though, since I knew that my father would be released in a year. During the first couple years apart, I wrote letters to my father and received some in return. I kept writing, but eventually the letters stopped coming back to me, so our communication ended. Even as a 10-year-old, I could see that the mental health issues that had forced my father to leave were now ending this part of our relationship as well. Since then, I have only heard secondhand news regarding my father's life. I often wished for things to go back to the way they were before my father left. I knew that my previous life was not healthy, but it was all that I had known. I loved the many Thursday nights spent shopping and playing with my sister and my dad while my mom was at choir practice. But there were also odd days when the babysitter would take care of my sister and I, even though my dad was at home all day, just out in the garage. I began to accept that this time would never be recreated as I continued to fear what lay ahead. Would I see my father again? Would he want to see me? Would it be safe to see him? I feared finding the answers to these questions in the future, and it made it difficult to think about the present. Accepting these fears for what they were and finding peace with that part of my life was a very hard process. I attended professional counseling and had many deep conversations with my mother. I wrote letters to my father and learned from family about the painful parts of his life. Through these actions, I was able to make sense of the events that had happened. God used this difficult work to help me find peace, but finding peace also came in a different way. Throughout all of these difficult phases of learning and coping, I was blessed to be a part of the life at Columbia Presbyterian Church. During my childhood, I participated in almost every ministry Columbia offered to its children since my family first began attending when I was 2 years old. Through Sunday school, summer activities, and weekly programs, I heard the Word of God and learned the stories of the Bible. I learned a lot of Bible stories and played a lot of games, but most importantly, I felt the love of God from people who lived as disciples. It is the Word of God and its proof through the people who shared it with me that truly give me peace. Some of the most meaningful times were playing in the nursery on Thursday nights in the years after my father left. There was no arranged program for these hours, so we spent a lot of time sailing imaginary ships, building countless towers, and creating our own games. As places of God, many people see churches as serious places, but there is no limit to the silly things we could do when we work together as friends. Sometimes we were tired and just longing to go home, but there was always a sense of community that felt safe. As I got older, I continued to participate in a lot of Columbia's ministries. I experienced the middle school ministries and began to see the new ways that I could serve the community with volunteering opportunities. When I finally got to high school, I was able to become a leader for the K2 program and spend my summers as an intern at the church. For me, the decision to be part of these ministries was obvious. I thought, I have the opportunity to support a community that I know is doing the good work of the gospel, and there is no reason why I could not commit to these roles. I know firsthand the good work that these ministries have done in my own life to be the good work of God. Service is part of the Christian life because we all need to be served and should be willing to do the same for others. I continue to feel safe in this community at Columbia, but I also find peace in knowing that other people will have those same feelings of security that I do, and I am grateful to be able to help make this happen. This week, I tried to learn a little bit more about when Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, one of his longest teachings. At the time, Jesus is just starting his ministry. He has called his disciples and has begun tending to the people of Galilee. Already there are large crowds following Jesus, so he climbs up on a mountainside so that he can sit down and teach. Many well-known ideas come from this sermon, including the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. It is easy to overlook some of the other teachings that Jesus gave that day, but there are 10 verses that I would like to read, which are given to address the worries of the people listening. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." From this section, we can see what the people listening to Jesus were most worried about. Their two main concerns were clothes and food. We can all understand the need for these basic necessities and the fear of not having them. Jesus acknowledges that they are important aspects of life, saying that the Father knows that you need all these things. Yet at the same time, he assures the people that God will provide for them what they need. Jesus asks the people to focus on the most important aspect of life instead of their fears. More important than having food and clothes is to strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When God is your priority, he will help you in all the ways that you have need. An interesting aspect of this passage is its style. Most of what Jesus says is in the form of a question, and he is responding to the initial questions of, "What will I wear?" and "What will I eat?" As Jesus provides evidence to his claim, he asks a question so that those listening will ask themselves what they believe. He could have said, "You are more valuable than the birds of the air," but by asking us to confirm his statement, "Are you not more valuable than they?" we end up with a deeper reassurance of this claim. Asking the questions of fears, Jesus also shows us how to ask more important questions about why we should not worry. Anyone can tell you not to be afraid of your fear, but unless you can tell yourself not to worry, you will still be afraid. For most of us, being fed and having clothes are not our biggest concerns. Maybe you worry about your job, your time, or like me when I was younger, your safety. Despite having different fears than the ones Jesus was addressing in this passage, the reasoning that he provides can be applied to any fear. I have come to learn very deeply in these past years that God knows what you fear and what you need, and he will provide for you if you trust in him. Even when your struggle is trusting in him, he will provide for you. Not only does God feed the birds of the air and clothe the grass of the field, he takes care of every piece of his world, including us. Only God truly knows what you are going through right now. But whatever that is, I know that God has provided for you, some of you in the same way that he did for me. I hope that you know that you can trust God in any chapter of your life, because to him you are more valuable than the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, or any other creature of the earth. His love and care are so immense that any of our darkest fears pale in comparison. Amen.